Amen. Christmas plays. Any of you, honestly, now be honest and don't, any of you were ever asked to be Jesus in a Christmas play? Come on. Anybody? Nah. All right, I'm going to be kind then. How many of you were ever asked to be an angel in a Christmas play? Oh, only the women. How come that is? I have a hard time with that, Sandy. No men, obviously. We know why, because men are more, well, anyway. All right, what about a shepherd? Anybody was a shepherd in a Christmas play? You were? That's great. Shepherd, okay.
Wise man.
They must have been hurting for people to get. Hey, really, I've never even asked to be that. I mean, I'm getting on down here. What about a tree? I was a tree. Now, think about that. The talent that I would have had, really. And then they said, Brother David, will you be a tree? Or not Brother David, obviously, but David. Our daughter in a church in a play one time was Mephibosheth. I think he was a boy. And anyway, we lacked young men in the church. All right, so you take a little girl and put something on her head and cap, Mephibosheth. But I love the Christmas plays, especially for the children who are so excited that they forget their lines and say something just out of the blue, you know. But I remember hearing somebody say, well, I've got good news, because they said, we have good news. And the children, so the good news is that in the story of Christmas, regardless of whether you were ever in a play or not, there's always a place for everybody. Now, Jesus had his place, but I saw those people there, the wise men, the shepherds, and so on. I mean, the cattle praised God that day. They had to. The sheep did. I'm sure they did. But I see in the scripture a story, and I want to look at, we're going to look at a lot of verses, so I want to warn you, this is going to be, and I'm going to put my glasses on and try to get under the light, because I forget so much that's already there, and I've read this so many times, it's embarrassing to think, where have I been all these 60-something years when I've read that and heard about it all the time? So take your Bible, if you will, and let's look at Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to share some things that some of it I didn't have a clue. And I'm embarrassed, but I thought, well, I can learn. So I want you to take your Bible and look with me at Luke chapter 1. And we're going to go through here, and I hope to share some things with you that God spoke to me about that are different. We're just not going to talk about baby Jesus or nor the wise men, though all of that's important. But I want to talk to you about some things, especially about this guy, Zacharias. I hope that's pronounced even proper. If I'd have been in a spelling bee, I don't know that I would have pronounced his name right or especially even spelled it. But Zacharias, who in the world? Some people think that's a book of the Bible, but that's okay. But I want you to look with me, and we're going to read this brief passage, but we're going to cover, now don't get nervous, we're going to cover the first chapter of Luke, okay? But we're going to skip from here to there. And I want to talk to you about Elizabeth. I want to talk to you about Mary. But mainly, I want to focus in on Zacharias, because I know very little about him. But he played a vital role, and especially his faithfulness is unbelievable, what he was willing to do during this time. Now, Luke chapter 1, you have your place? All right, now look up here a minute. Let me talk to you about what's happening. Between the Old and New Testament, I understand there was a period of about 400 years where God was silent, okay? He said nothing. There was no word of God. There was no preaching. There were no prophets, no prophetess. There was nothing going on. In a way, it's like God said, okay, I'm going to turn the radio off. And for 400 years, you're not going to hear me speak. But one day I'm going to turn the radio back on, and the first thing I'm going to say is, there's opportunity for you to be saved. There's a Savior, Christ the Lord. Think about it for 400 years, between the Old and New Testament. I've studied that to some degree, and I've never preached one message on that time, very desolate time. Well, God's turned the radio back on. What is his announcement? What's he going to say? We've been waiting on to hear from you, from God, for 400 years. Here unto you this day is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. So during that time, what are you going to be doing? You love Jesus? You know about him through the Old Testament. You believe the Word of God. What are you going to do? Well, hopefully you're going to do like this guy. You're going to be faithful to carry out your duties for the Lord, even though he's not really talked to you as such. Now, when Gabriel spoke to Zacharias, it's the first words in 400 years. Think about it. Good night. I don't know how you'd go a day without the Word of God. I don't know how you'd go any time without at least picking up the Bible and say, God, speak to me. But literally, it's been 400 years, and so Gabriel comes and spoke to Zacharias. The name Zacharias, what does it mean? I did not know. Anybody just curious? And I'm not trying to trick you. I did not know what his name meant. I'm not big on names, but they're important. I looked it up. His name means God remembers. God remembers. So he comes down, Gabriel does, the archangel speaks to a man named Zacharias, and Zacharias saying, God remembers. God remembers me. You remember me? Why? Why me? What is Zacharias doing? Well, he's carrying out his duties in the house of God. But I want you to notice specifically what duty that is, and this is what got my attention. Now you say, well, preacher, how'd you get that? I don't know. But I was just fascinated to think about this passage of Scripture. Look with me, if you will, in verse 5, Luke chapter 1. There was in the days of Herod, king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, maybe, and his wife was one of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, wait a minute. What does Elizabeth mean? I didn't know. I thought, Lord, boy, I'm really brilliant. I mean, they called me to fill in, be the interim, and I don't have a clue, and I'm going to talk about Zacharias. It means God has not forgotten you. And Elizabeth's name means his oath, O-A-T-H, okay? So God has not forgotten you, folks. Listen, God, though he may sometimes seem to be silent, sometimes you think, where is he? How come he's not listening? God has not forgotten these people. And here are some folks, and it is unbelievable. The whole story of the Christmas story, I believe, is remembering that God is going to keep his word. God is keeping his word. This is God in flesh. God's keeping his word. But for a long time, they thought, what's going on? God, are you even there? And so here they come. And I thought, every time something happens in the word of God, listen to this statement. Prophecy is being fulfilled. Think about it. I forget that. You say, well, boy, look at everything going on today. Prophecy is being fulfilled. Well, how come this is happening and that was happening? God's in charge and prophecy is being fulfilled. That's what's happening right here. All of this is about God's word being fulfilled. Now, let me ask you, is that very important? Yes. It is critical, if it's God's word, that it be fulfilled, completed, every jot, every tittle. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God says, my word will not pass away. So in this story, you may not understand a lot of it. I do not. I don't know why it happened the way it did, but don't forget this. The word of God is being fulfilled every time you open the Bible and read something, and it will be fulfilled. It will never not be, or it couldn't be, the word of God. So as we go down through here, I thought, wow, think about it. Born of a virgin. Given to the throne of David. I don't understand all about that. It'll be an eternal throne. His name will be called Emmanuel. We've sung the song. That means God with us. I still, you know, some of that is amazing. And on and on and on we could go. But I want you to notice this. I want you to see this. And so I wrote down some things about Zacharias. And I want you to look with me especially at verses 8 through 11. And we're going to study this. And then I'm going to go to Mary and Elizabeth and then back to Zacharias. Good enough? You ready? Look at verse 8 and watch what he's doing. The Bible says, and it came to pass that while he, that's Zacharias, executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, or as he's supposed to, according to the custom of the priest office, that's Zacharias, His lot was to do what? Burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. All right, now look where. Verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at a time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, we know that, his name's Gabriel, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Wow. Now, where are they? They're in church. Zacharias is carrying out his priestly duties. This is a piece of furniture that literally you read about in the scripture, and it's called the altar of incense. All right? So every morning and every afternoon, smoke is coming up from this altar. That's the job of Zacharias, or one of them. Now you say, well, so what? Okay, that's what I thought. Lord, what does it matter where he was? He was faithful, yes, but he was faithful, and he was there when Gabriel came. Now, incense. Look, if you will, at Exodus chapter 30, 7 and 8. And let your fingers do the walking through God's pages. And let's just turn. And I'm going to read these, or you can jot them down. If you don't turn, that's fine. Exodus chapter 30. And I want you to notice verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, and Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dressed the lamps. He shall burn incense upon it. All right, same piece of furniture, same thing that Zacharias is doing. All right, verse 8. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at evening, he shall burn incense upon it. A perpetual, or by the way, never going out incense, always going up before the Lord throughout your generation. And this is the verse that caught my attention. Can you find Chronicles? Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 29. This blew my mind, and I don't know if that's a great term or not for what little bit of mind I've got. But when I read this, I thought, Lord, that's why I need to know. 2 Chronicles, look if you will, there's Kings and then Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 29. When you find your place, look at verse 11. Verse 11, 2 Chronicles, and I'm headed there, okay? This is wonderful. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 11. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. Okay? I wrote down these words, chosen you. Hey, does that ring a bell? By the way, he chose you. Aren't you glad you chose him? Amen. I didn't know God would choose me, but he did. I don't understand all of that. But I'm thankful that I chose him because he gave me a choice. He did. But he says he's chosen you. What's the next thing? To do what? Stand before him. The next thing, to serve him. The next thing, to minister unto him. Now, that's good. I thought, let me look at that again. To stand before him. Okay, Lord, I'm standing before you preaching the word of God. All right, here's what I want you to do then. Then I want you to serve me, but I want you to minister unto me. Look what it says in verse 11. The Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, comma, and that you should minister unto him. And then look at the last thing, and burn incense, okay? The altar of incense, and I'm going to put those glasses down. I hate that. You put them on, put them off, and then it just distracts me. Doesn't it bother you when they do that? I either leave them on or leave them off. So I'm going to leave them off. Burn incense, that's your prayers, okay? And I believe also your praises to God. So, preacher, what are you saying? During this season, and not just this season, but all the time, I must learn that continually I'm to cry out to God. I'm to cry out and say, God, you've chosen me to serve you. I'm to minister the word of God, or to preach, or teach, or lead, or pray, or witness, or tell others. And God, I'm to do it to you. Not for the people, not for Community Baptist Church, no. Because if I only did it for you and then somebody was aggravated and disappointed or hateful, then I would get discouraged. And that happens all the time. You've seen people here, we've talked about, Sandy, a few, that have gone on because they got upset over one thing or another. That happens. But let's learn this. David, church, let's learn to do it as unto the Lord, because he's never going to disappoint you. Amen. He's never going to let you down. He's never going to say, I don't like that. And if he does, he'll deal with you as a child of God. So focus your eyes on as unto the Lord. And whether he's speaking to you, or whether you're as excited as you used to be, or whether you have as many people in the church as you used to have, that's not the issue. The issue is, where are you when God has spoken and told you what you need to do? Are you serving Him? And I tell you what, when I saw that, I said, wow, that's like a dagger. Lord, am I doing it? What did it say there? This shall be done, and you shall burn incense. And according to the scripture, it will be continually or perpetual. Okay, so every morning, you're to pray. And every noon, you're to pray. Evening in the morning. What's the little song? Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at noontime. And I know I don't sing. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him when the sun goes, remember, down. That's all the time. But we're to pray all the time. And what a great time of the season to continue to pray for people that need Christ. All of you have got loved ones. The prayer requests are overwhelming of this need and that need, some physical, some spiritual. But this ought to be a word for us. And when God spoke to me about that, I thought, okay, the incense is to be continual. It's to be ascending up, obviously, to God. And yet, it's a picture of Jesus. Jesus is ever making intercession for you and me all the time. How do you know that? Well, the Word of God. And I thought, what would fit this? And I know, but look at Hebrews, if you will, please, chapter 8. No, let's don't use all those. Go to Romans 8. That's a good one, too. Go to Romans 8, verse 28. You know verse 28. You've heard that. You've quoted it. All things work together for good. Them love God. Them are called according to His purpose. But I want you to see some more after verse 28. So look at Romans 8, verse 28. And I'm not going to read all of these. And I want you to see this. This is great. And this helped me this week. I tell you, you've got to have some stuff to keep you going. This is high-test gasoline right here. I guarantee it. Romans 8, 28, you know the verse. There it is. We know that all things work together for good. Be careful now. To them that what? Love God. All things do not work together for good, those that don't love God, by the way. We've misquoted this verse. I've misquoted it. That's not what it says. I know I've heard preachers get up talking about that. Well, we know eventually all things work together for good. That's not so. Unless you what? Love God. Okay? I mean, I'm just reading that. Verse 8, that you love God, and that to them who are called according to whose purpose? His. Thank you. Not mine, not yours, His. And so Zacharias was doing it, his duty, for God. He's offering up incense from that altar of incense to God continually. And he said, God, I'm just ministering unto you. I'm praying, I'm praising you. And I thought, wow. But look at verse 29. To whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Now, I'm going to skip over quickly, if you will, to about verse 35. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, nor distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than, boy, conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. And then he goes on. I mean, he's covering it all. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to me. He died for you. He was buried for you. He went to the grave and rose again for you. He ascended then to the right hand of God the Father. Who for? Not really for him, but for you. And the Bible says, then he ever liveth and to make intercession for us. Us. If that isn't assurance, I mean, he's already told you nothing's going to separate you from his love. So Zacharias has spent this time, and I don't know how old he is, but for all this time, he's gone to the house of God, and he lights those candles on the altar of incense, and he sends up that smoke every morning, every afternoon. It's not to go out. And yet he has not heard from God, and he thanks God, Lord, but he's counting on the Word of God to be fulfilled. And I think that's the secret, because I know in today's time, we could talk negativity, and we could talk about sorry preachers, and sorry this, and sorry that, and churches dying, and closing the doors. But guys, Jesus Christ, he died and was buried, and he did all that, and he's still today looking over you. He's making intercession for you to God. And I love that. That encouraged me. That's my guarantee. I'm saved because Jesus Christ is making intercession for us, and he's already done that, and I've trusted in him. And he's risen for us, and he intercedes for us in heaven every day. For 400 years, he's still taking care of the people. He is watching over them. I thank God for that. Well, Zacharias, what a guy. What an amazing fellow. But let's look at Elizabeth. She's there. You know the women are critical in that time too. Look what happens now back in Luke chapter 1. Let's go back. I better get out of Romans. It's all good. But look, if you will, now back at Luke chapter 1. And notice, and let's go, let's see. Go to verse 41, okay? I told you we're going to cover the whole chapter, but we'd skip some. Look at verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary. Uh-oh, salutation. What does that mean? What is that? Huh? The reading of the Word of God, okay? Her thoughts, maybe she's quoting it. I don't know if she has the scroll. But now Elizabeth is there, and in the house of God, Mary is there. And she hears about that, the salutation, okay? Look, if you will, see what it says. Verse 42. All right, she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed, oh, she said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of the womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now that's John, isn't it? That's John, okay? So Mary is ministering. She does not know all that's about to take place in her life. She couldn't. Zacharias is ministering, but John leaps in the womb. Now notice what happens to Elizabeth. This is amazing. For lo, as soon as the voice of the salutation, verse 44, sounded in thine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things, amen, which were told her from the Lord. Listen, guys. You look on down through there and you'll see some things that are unbelievable. She is literally filled with the Spirit of God and is praising God. But now look, Zacharias was faithful in his duty. Mary is faithful. God has chosen her to have his son. And yet Elizabeth is faithful. But because of Mary, she's encouraged. John's encouraged. That proves there's life in the womb, obviously. You could go on about that. But I tell you what, Elizabeth was an amazing person. She was faithful despite the circumstances, despite the hardness. I'll get it in a minute. I'm amazed at the faithfulness of people that don't have the Word of God. And now we have the completed Word of God, and we're not as faithful as we ought to be. I'm not. God help us. These folks are a lesson for all of us. Verse 46, let's look at Mary. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Look at her response. We see the response. I'm going to magnify the Lord, not Mary. Oh, no. By the way, let me just stop here a minute. Mary had to be saved just like you did. Mary, being God's mother, is not to be worshipped, folks. We know that, don't we? Amen. Mary had to be saved because she said, my Lord and my what? My Savior. Mary had sins just like you and I. So don't go fall into that. I don't want to ever worship anybody other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're not to worship Mary or any church or any denomination. And Mary had to be saved. She cried out, and I believe she was saved just like I was. She trusted in the Lord. And it's an amazing thought there. But her response. And then what does she realize? And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Wait a minute. She's not even had a baby. How could that be that she knows that? She believed the Bible. I just want to believe the Bible, don't you? Amen. I want to just believe God's word. And a lot of times when it doesn't make sense, and a lot of times when we're not faithful to do it, it's still going to hold true. We've got to remember that. I don't know what next year holds, and you don't either. I don't know what's going to happen. But these folks show us a praise, and they kept praying for all these years and praying because they said, God, it's going to come true. It's going to come true. And it is. And they're testifying to that fact. It is amazing what happened. All right? She rejoiced. What all did she rejoice about? Here's some things that I want to look up later. And this would take a Bible study for sure. Start at verse 51. Verse 51. Look what it says. And I'm going to read. He hath showed strength with his arm. Now that's the Lord. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Okay, the scriptures talk about displaying his mighty arm. I read that in Samuel, Psalms 33, Isaiah 52, and Isaiah 53. And I can give you these verses later. But Mary is simply quoting what she has heard from the Old Testament people. She's quoting it, believing that it will be true. Look what she says now. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He hath holpen or helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He hath spake to our fathers Abraham and his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Guys, listen. The Lord will and is right now, today, and will forever complete his word, or he couldn't be God. And it'll happen. Now, I don't say this ugly, but listen. It'll either happen with you or without you. Okay? You will not prolong this. I used to pray, Lord, I'd like to keep you from coming right now, you know, and have whatever. Well, I don't know if that's biblical. Maybe it was a selfish prayer of mine that I'd say, Lord, I don't want you to come right now, though I'm ready. And Lord, if, you know, until the last person's getting saved and so on, I know you're not going to come. But I don't know that we can actually prolong his coming. That's debatable. That's not the issue. The issue is, I want to be a part of it. Amen? I want to be able to brag on him and somebody else hear it, and then that excites them. I mean, Mary was praising God, and John in Elizabeth's womb said, boy, I like that. Preach on, sister. Amen? That's good. I mean, I cannot get over the fact that you could be such a blessing to others, but we don't realize it. But now God can use me and you. God can use anybody. He has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He has chosen those that are weak to confound those that are mighty. 1 Corinthians. God says, listen, I can use you. I can use you. It's not that they're mighty that he uses, though he can. It's not the rich, though he can. But things get in our way. But these people did not let anything get in their way of serving God. That's impressive. But Zacharias. Zacharias, let's go back. I want to start it with him, and I want to end with Zacharias, okay? Look, if you will, at verse 57. Verse 57, same fellow. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord, that's it, has showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they called him, Zacharias, after the name of his father. But wait a minute. And his mother said, no, not so. He shall be called John. Okay? Now, from verse 57 through 79, you're going to see a lot about that went on. But I want to focus in the time we have left, starting in verse 64. Verse 64. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. Who is that? We're back to Zacharias. Okay, I'm going to follow that. Zacharias, when he heard the noise from Gabriel, he was deaf, right? Or was it deaf? Dumb. Okay, help me. All right, you know, I'm just testing you. I know all that, brother. I'm just testing y'all to see whether you know the Bible or not. All right, so he couldn't speak, right? You with me? Right, so yes. Okay, this means yes. Okay. All right, so a period of time, so he started writing down. Now, while this is going on, this little boy can't say a word. Ladies, that would be a blessing sometimes, wouldn't it, for your husband not to be able to say a word? And guys, I'm not going to say anything else about the other side, so we're going to let that go. But when he hears about all this and realizes in his heart that God's just fulfilling his word, and he's going to do it either with or without him, whether he can speak or not, then he opens his mouth, and what's the first thing he does? Praise God. Today, we just simply, whether you understand it or not, I'll say, praise God. See, God's in control. You're not. Aren't you glad you're not in control, brother? Pete, aren't you glad that it's not up to me and you? Because if it was, we're in trouble. I'm telling you. I mean, really, if you think about that you had to depend on somebody else, well, they'll let you down. That's obvious. But that old guy, when he started going on, he opened his mouth. His mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came all that dwelt around about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout the hill country of Judea. All right, look at verse 66. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child is this be? And the hand of the Lord was upon him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, he didn't brag on himself, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. So let me ask you a question. Is your strength failing you from time to time? We talk about the prayer request, so-and-so's this and the doctor and that. That means as we get older, our strength fails us. I wonder how old he was. By the way, I don't have a clue. Zacharias. But it doesn't matter. When he regained what God wanted him to have, he just said, God, I can't do it like I used to, but I'm going to praise you. I bet he lifted them little arms up. I bet he went around like this right here. I believe he became a Baptist, don't you? I do. I think there ought to be some excitement in the house of God over what God's doing. I do. Folks, I'm believing that. I mean, amen, oh me, something. But we ought to be excited, and it shouldn't be just during the Christmas season, because it's not just about, well, I read a statement the other day I thought was interesting. I'll mention it. If it hurts you, you know, take it up with the Lord. If it helps you, thank you. It helped me. Christmas is not about so much about swapping as it is about giving. And I thought, wow. So it is a time of giving, whether you get anything back or not. And he gave, and he gave, and he gave. And so after he regained his strength and his speech, he praised God in the power of the Holy Spirit. I wrote this down. What did he praise him for? For keeping his promises to other people. That meant they also were for him, because it says for generation to generation, to generation, to generation, to the next one, and the next one till Jesus comes. For visiting and redeeming his people. That's the last thing I want to say, because that struck me as odd. Jesus visiting? Yeah, okay. King James? I mean, you know, if you had a King James literal 1611 KJV, you couldn't read it. I get tickled about people say, well, you're King James only? Well, that's just what I cut my teeth on, but for visiting and redeeming his people. I think that's it, the bottom line. Christmas, he came, he went about doing the Father's will. He finished the course. He redeemed you and I. And then, thank God, January the 12th, 1969, I said yes to him. Yes to him. Later on, I didn't have a clue. He said, I want you to continue to say yes. By the way, it's true for you. Salvation is just the basement level. You're just started. You're just started. You say, well, preacher, I've been saved 50 years. That isn't nothing. It really isn't compared to eternity. He's still working. His word's still being fulfilled, and it will be. But when I saw that, I thought, God, I want to be like Zacharias. I'd like to be like, or Elizabeth, or Mary. When I saw that visiting and redeeming the people, I looked up at two verses. Both now and forever. Psalms 111 and verse 9. Let me just read it to you. You can jot it down. And you could go on and on and on. And You know, it's amazing. Psalms 111 and verse 9. Listen. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. He sent redemption. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he did. He came not to heal those that need no physician, but those that were sick. I was sin sick, and so were you. And today, if you're in sin, you're sick. I mean, as a believer, you're in more dangerous ground than if you were lost in some ways. Understand me now. I mean, if you don't trust Christ, it's ugly. But if you're his child and you're backslid or away from God, and even during this time of the year, that can happen very easily. Your focus is on something different. You better go back and remember why he came. And he's visited and he's redeemed us for a purpose and a reason. And I thought, Lord, there ought to be something in the New Testament, and there are plenty. So I put this one down, Luke chapter 7. Let me read verse 16. And I thought, God, that's it. That's Christmas for me. That, you've taught me that. You've shown me that. Luke chapter 7 and verse 16. Let me find it. Here it is. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God. Now, that's me. I have fearful times. And there came a fear on all, but, and they glorified God, saying, that's a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. Now, my question is this. Have you visited him? Is that fair? Two sides to every coin, and I try to make this personal. So, he's visited and redeemed and taken care of it. You can't save anybody. But have you visited him? And I guess what I'm asking is, do you know you're saved? Okay. You say, well, oh yes, no problem. Okay. But wait a minute. Are you still glorifying God regardless of whether he was quiet or anything else now? Are you faithfully still serving? You say, well, not like I used to. Why not? Just the best you can is all he requires. He doesn't go and look and say, well, boy, you can't do what you used to, so I'm through with you. That's not so. You can't find that in Scripture. That is not Bible. If you're 80 and you can still do something, that's what he wants you to do until he comes. Now, he is coming. He came the first time. He's coming again. You know there's more about the second coming than the first coming. Isn't that cool? I thought about Joseph, and I could go on all day, and I won't, I promise. I thought about the comparisons to Joseph, the one in the Old Testament and the one in the New. You ought to study that. They're both two different guys. Pictures of Christ. They loved God. They were just people. God chose them to carry out his work. But God chose you to continue his work also. That's why you're here. You say, well, you know, I just tell you, it's not excited like I used to be. How come? Still his word. I've been there, by the way, where you are many times. Every time I'm not preaching somewhere, I'm in the house of God listening. And I need a preacher, and you need. And we all need to remember the word of God will be fulfilled. It will. That encouraged me during these times because I thought, okay, so-and-so's not coming. I don't like them anyway, and I hope we're going to eat here. And, you know, and it's just the human part of me, and I don't like it. And I'm not a Scrooge, and we've got a tree up and lights out on the porch, okay? If you want to come by, 654 Kodak Road. Beautiful. My wife does a great job. I encourage her. It's good, honey. Keep it up. You know, well, that's good. You're doing a great job. I like that. Yeah, and add more. By the way, I used to make fun of the people that left their lights up all year long on their gutters. I don't make fun of them anymore. That's probably pretty smart. So look, Christmas story, I wanted to challenge myself with people that I knew less about. By the way, that's the first time I've ever preached that message. That's the truth. Especially the part about Zacharias. I said, Lord, what I don't know, I need to write down to my own ignorance. But I'm going to find out because I don't want to be part of the ignorant brother. I want to learn more because that just fires me up. He had to be on up in years. And I don't know how old Mary was, a teenager, obviously. But teenagers can praise God. And Zacharias is older than y'all, and he praised God. Okay? And Mary, And Elizabeth, so you might be Elizabeth, but praise God and praise Him for coming and for redeeming you and allowing you to tell others about Him. Let's bow our heads. Brother, come back up if we will, just as I am or something that. And let me talk to you right quick. I don't know who the message is for, but I do know that it's for somebody. I do know there are needs in every seat where somebody is sitting. I know there's a broken heart in every seat to some point. I know that. There's no need to try to disguise that and say that we're not needy. It's good to admit your need. So during this time, it's a lonely time. It's a hectic time. It's filled with all kinds of things. But don't forget, He's fulfilling His word. So rejoice in that. And just tell people, I don't understand it, but it's happening right before our eyes. And we're living in a great time. We really are. To brag on Jesus. So ask God to help you to do that. Now, do you remember the little prayer? God, do in me what you have to do, so you can do through me what you want to do. Now, if you prayed that earlier, then I would like for you to respond to Him, not me. If you don't move, that's fine. But we're going to sing. I invite you, if you want to come, you can come. If you can't kneel, you can come and sit. We'll be glad to pray with you. Others can come. But don't act like everything's okay, because none of us without Him are anything. So praise God. Brother, you come. Just keep your head bowed and eyes closed. If you want to come, you slip out of your seat and come.